church. So we've been on a series on Sundays called This Is How We Do It. This is how we do it. Y'all jokers don't know. Y'all don't know about these 90s dancing. Y'all jokers don't know about the Cabbage Patch. Y'all know about that. Y'all know, I don't even know this movie, but y'all know that one either. Y'all don't know about it. But we've been on this series called This Is How We Do It. Because, listen, ain't gonna lie, being a Christian can be rough and tough and hard as all get out if you don't know how to walk this life. If you don't know how to do life, this is how we do it. And we've been talking about, from Matthew 5, we've been talking about a thing called the Beatitudes. We've been doing this on Wednesdays too, on a series called The Garden. And we talked about, man, in order to do this thing, to do this walking like Jesus and do this life thing, that we need to have humility. We talked about that on Sunday. That blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That, man, that humility is an attitude that we got to have, because guess what? Micah 6:8 says this. This is what God requires of us: to love mercy, to do justice, and to walk humbly with our God. You can find God when you walk in humility, when you recognize your need for him. So we talked about humility. We talked about blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matter of fact, this past Wednesday, Pastor Josh preached on that. And, man, it was a fire message. That, man, that we are to hunger and thirst for God. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger and thirst, man, for this relationship that we can have with him. That Psalms 119 is this massive psalms. And it talks about this, the author, he's like, man, that the word is what he's hungry for. That's the theme of Psalms 119. And so that, man, matter of fact, when we preach it on Sundays, I just started telling you testimonies and stories of, man, that it gets you hungry. That I'm telling you right now, sixth grader, eighth grader, seventh grader, middle schooler, high schooler, there is more to this. There is so much more to this. That you can know God and you can be as close to God as close as you want. You can know him like you know your best friend. You can know him, you can be as close to him as you want. And the closer you are to God, the more your life will manifest who he is and what he's like. And that'll be the very joy of your life. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We talked last week, actually, where Brother Marcellus, he spoke on blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That, man, got to first recognize that, man, God has mercy for us. God's heart is full of mercy towards us. He's always forgiving us when we fall short. And because of that, we can be people who forgive others. Talked about being merciful and receiving mercy. And that, man, these are all these attributes that, man, how to actually walk this thing out. And this morning, first and foremost, I got a question. Who in here, you have glasses? You don't wear them? Okay. Who in here, you know, you either you have glasses or you need glasses? Who in here, you Pastor Josh, y'all pray for Pastor Josh. Pastor Josh has been sleeping in his contacts for 3 weeks straight. Never takes them out. You do the same thing? Oh, Lord. They ain't made for that. They're not made for it. But I remember, everybody in my family, they had glasses when I was growing up. I had good vision. I had really good vision, actually. But since my mama had glasses, my sisters had glasses, my daddy had glasses, elementary, second grade, third grade, Sam was like, I feel left out. well, why does everybody else get glasses? So what I did, don't do this. I didn't read in the dark. No, I did something worse. I played video games and watched TV super close on purpose, ruined my eyesight. And now I got to wear glasses. Literally, if I take my glasses off, it's bad. Listen, it's bad anyways. But I learned later on how valuable your eyesight is. Who is thankful that, man, we got just, even the glasses, like, we got eyesight. We got some vision. Like who in here you've ever, like, been like, had moments where you could not see a thing? You could not see one thing. It could be like this. We have all done this. You drank some water right before you go to bed. Go. You go to sleep. And then your body wakes you up in the middle of the night and says, hey, unless you want to be sleeping in your pee and your bed turn into a water bed, you gonna need to get up. Who's ever had that moment? Drink too much water. Drink too much. I don't know what it is growing up, especially if you're like, I'm so thirsty at night. You start drinking up water. Body wakes up, says, you gotta pee. Eyes, blood, red shot, just wakes up. But unfortunately, everything in your house is black. Everything is dark. You say, I gotta go to the bathroom. But you can't see. You're still slumbering. You're still like, you got sleep all up in yourself. And you start walking, and you forget there's stuff on the floor. And you forget that your door is not this big, but this big. Or you got a bookshelf right there, or your bed frame is actually, like, protruding out. And you start walking, and before you know it, ka-chow, you crush your toes up against something, and you are for sure, you know, I lost 3 toes just then. I know there's blood protruding from my foot. You're full of pain. You're full of what is going on. You can't see a thing. Now your foot's in pain. You can't see a thing because it's dark. In those moments, I'm always like, Lord of mercy, I need eyesight. I need vision. Who's ever had those moments? Busted your foot, lost 3 toes on the bed frame, hit the bookshelf, stepped on some keys, something. Horrible feeling. Makes me wonder, like, my goodness, I would hate to be blind. In those moments, I recognize that vision is valuable. Someone say, vision is valuable. And that's the next thing that actually in the Beatitudes that Jesus says that we need in order to walk this thing out. You see, the Bible says this in Matthew 5:8 says this, that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We're going to come back to that. Because you know what's crazy? Vision is so valuable that in this life, that how we see, that what we see, what we perceive, not just naturally, but spiritually, fits everything. That thing is being attacked the moment that we're on this rock. That your vision is being warred for. Can I tell you this? That in Corinthians, Paul said this. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded. Someone say blinded. Has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, Matthew 5:8 says this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That vision is valuable, and vision is connected to purity. And the point and the purpose of purity is that we'll be able to see God. Vision is valuable. And vision is tied to purity. What does pure mean? Here's a simple definition. Pure means this. It means to be clean. It means to be unstained. It means to be not mixed with any other substance or material. What's that word heart mean? It means this. It means mind, emotional state. It means intellect. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who are clean and unstained in their mind, in their emotional state, in their thoughts, for they shall see God. The point of purity, again, is to see him. And the world, Satan, the little g, God of this world, the one who's over the systems and the one who manipulates messages and who wars for your vision, is warring for your vision because he doesn't want you to see God. You see, the main thing the enemy is after in your life is your vision. The enemy wants to influence how you see everything. Your parents, people, yourself, situations, circumstances, and of course, the main thing he wants to influence you is how you see God. If the devil can get your vision, he can get your whole life. So that's why there's a war for your vision. You see, Matthew 6, 21 through 23 says this. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart, mind, will, emotion, will also be. It says this, the eye, some say eye. The eye is the lamp of the body. You draw light into your body through your eyes, and light shines out to the world through your eyes. So if your eye is well and shows you what is true, then your whole body will be full of light, meaning no, not darkness, meaning not evil, meaning not sin. But if your eye is clouded or evil, then your body will be filled with evil and dark clouds. And the darkness that takes over the body of a child of God who has gone astray, that is the deepest, darkest darkness there is. Can I tell you that, man, that the how you see, how you perceive, that the world is trying to manipulate and influence it so much that what God sees is good, that you would be like, wait, is it? Or how you see yourself. You know how many times that I talk to kids, guys and girls, and the amount of self-hatred they have towards themselves, all because of the way they see themselves. That man, in this life right now, in this culture right now, there's this thing about especially social media, that man, we gotta compare. If I don't look like her, if I don't got her body, if I don't look like him, if I don't sound like him, something's wrong with me. We compare, we self-hate. And when there's an absence of love and there's only fear and hate, guess what? We invite all types and sorts of manipulation. We invite all sorts of crooked wisdom. And before you know it, we're bound to all sorts of issues based of what's got our eyes. You see, the two main ways the enemy will try to corrupt your vision, I must do first and foremost, one is idolatry. Say what? Someone say what? Idolatry? What does that even mean, Pastor Sam? Who says that anymore? Idolatry? What's an idolatry? Okay, let me talk about idols. Idolatry is one of the main things that the enemy will try to get us to corrupt our vision. Idolatry is this. It's the admiration or love or reverence you have for something or someone that replaces God. An idol is or idolatry is this. It's the admiration or love or reverence you have for something or someone that replaces God, that is greater than God. Everybody following me? You know what's crazy? The more you read the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, the more you see there's a theme when it comes to Israel. Israel would be worshiping God one moment. Oh, we love you, God. Oh, praise God to the highest. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They'd be crunk for God. But out of nowhere, it seems like, because they were influenced by, I guess, other peoples and other nations, they started taking up the worship of what other nations were doing. And they would start to worship other gods. And the moment they started worshiping other gods, it was the moment that sin started running amok all up in their nation. And they got into so much dysfunction, and they actually, their heart and their actions towards God shifted and changed, and they went into sin. Idolatry is super powerful, because whatever we behold, we become. Whatever we behold, we become. The enemy has always been after our worship. So if he can get you to not worship God and worship other things, he knows that, man, wait a second. If you don't worship God, you'll worship something else. And so if you worship something else, you actually will become like that thing. And if Psalms 115, 5 through 8 says this. They idolize what they own and what they make with their hands. But their things can't talk to them or answer their prayers. Their possessions will never satisfy. Their futile faith in dead idols and dead works can never bring life or meaning to their souls. Blind men can only create blind things. Those deaf to God can only make a deaf image. Dead men can only create dead idols. And everyone who trusts in these powerless dead things will be just like what they worship, powerless and dead. We wonder why we struggle with so much anxiety and depression, with the amount of crooked music and influence that we put between our ears. We wonder why we have so much self-hatred or so much rebellion and anger inside of us. By how much stuff we watch. Whatever is at the forefront of our thoughts and of our minds is the very thing that is influencing us the most. I remember, man, shoot, I got so many kids in my mind right now. That one kid in particular, I remember he hated his father. To the point where he said, Pastor Sam, I don't understand why God would give that guy the ability to procreate. Hated his father. And what his main influence was he's hip-hop artists. Especially these young ones. And he would listen and listen and listen and listen to them so much that I could tell, man, he wants these dudes to be his father more than this one, and especially more than God. And that brought so much dysfunction in his life. I got kids in my mind that I'm like, man, they're either in jail or they could be going to jail because of what they worshiped, what they beheld most. I remember talking to kids, especially this one kid in particular. He was so full of depression, and he was so full of anxiety. And I said, okay, who are you listening to? Name some artists. And I was like, wait a minute. These jokers are just as depressed as you. He's like, but they get my story. I was like, no, they don't. They don't even know you. listen. They don't, you. Lil Uzi don't know you. I was like, he don't know you. X don't know you. He don't know you. He said, but I can relate. I said, and what's happening is actually you're taking on his demons. You're taking on his issues and you're making them yours. We amplify our depression and we amplify our anxiety by the very things we behold. Music is powerful. It's ways of thinking. It's preaching with good beats, good rhythm, and it'll mold your life if you let it. For my anime kids in the room, they were like, yeah. Be careful of escapism, of you trying to escape into this fantasy world because you don't like the real one. Be careful of this counterfeit fantasy world. I can talk on anime. I can talk about all this stuff. I'm gonna have a doctorate in fiction. I have a doctorate in nerd stuff. I can. He said, "Don't come for me. I can. I'm in your house now." Don't talk about Naruto. Don't talk about Dragon Ball Z. Oh God, listen. Let me tell you something, man. There's something when it comes to anime that will twist your hunger for God. You won't hunger for the real thing. You only want the fake thing. You won't hunger for actually, like, literally a real peace and a real joy and a real spiritual realm and real power. You won't hunger for the fact that, hey, you can feel fire in your hands. You can heal the sick. You can prophesy. You can have dreams. You can have visions. You can interact with God. You can. You won't actually hunger for that. You'll just be content with a world that has got good animation and that will actually feed your escape because you don't like the real one. You'll start to binge watch and binge watch and binge watch. And before you know it, you become recluse or you become just super disconnected from the real world. That's with video games too. I can talk, listen, I got a doctorate in this. Sports, got a doctorate in that sucker too. Listen, if you put sports before God, you won't get nowhere in life. I don't care if you go to the league. I don't care if you go to college. You'll go to a place. You'll be in rooms and whatnot. But you won't have any type of life. Because, again, what we read in Psalms 115 is that, listen, only real peace, only real joy, only real life can only be found in God. That's the truth. We practice so much on our craft and in sports, yet we don't open up our Bibles. Listen, and I love how I talk to kids. They're like, I just don't have time. We make time for the things we love. We make time for the things that we want to do. And when you put a premium on your life, you'll start to choose things that will pertain to actually having a healthy life. We make people our idols. It's crazy to me how much a kid our same age who's in our peer groups or who we don't even talk to, but they can live rent-free in our minds. And we can live off of what their opinions are. We can live off of what they sound like, what they look like. If I could only be like this dude, he's got fresh shoes on. If I could only be like him. Yeah, we don't even know that. Listen, after high school, you won't ever see that joker again. You won't ever see those girls again. In fact, if they're peaking now, they peaked in life. That's the truth. There's so much pressure in your generation to look like this, to sound like this, to be the next influencer, to be, oh, this person is trustworthy because they got a million followers and they're this famous on TikTok and they're this famous on Instagram. And we say, oh man, if they did this, then I got to do this. No, you don't. You behold what you become. And a lot of these jokers got twisted, messed up lives. And the more you behold them, the more you become like them. And before you know it, you're in just as much bondage as they are in. Idolatry, y'all. It's something subtle, but it'll shake and shape your life. Wherever your treasure is, there your desires of your heart will be. The biggest question I can ask for you is, what's your desire? What are you desiring? What's your desire? What do you love? And is it more than God? 1 John 5:21 says this, little children, keep yourselves from idols or false gods. Keep yourself from anything and everything that would occupy the place in your heart due to God, from any sort of substitute for him that would take first place in your life. Little children, beware of idols. Beware of anything that will take away your love for God. A lot of us, we say, Pastor Sam, I don't really love God like that. So what's your first love then? Because that's the thing that's taking it. Pastor Sam, I just don't know what to do in worship. I get it. Check what you're worshiping. Check what's first in your life. Ask yourself, is this bringing me closer to God or is it taking me away from God? Got to ask yourself that. Little children, beware of idols and anything that would take your love away from them. So, enemy corrupts our vision with one, idolatry. He attacks our worship. And two, the main thing he tries to attack and to corrupt your vision is your sexuality. If there's anything in this generation that's been under attack like a mug, sexuality. We have this thing that's in our generation right now that if it feels good, it is good. Oh, it's okay. We make sex like shaking hands. we pervert everything. I'm like, yo, why is this Taco Bell's commercial and this girl's twerking? What's happening here? You ever just be watching something and you're like, I didn't even ask for this. What is going on? This is a kid show, isn't it? Out of nowhere, I'd be like, what is happening? Sexuality. Listen, there's this attack on your vision when it comes to pornography that will ride your back and make you a slave to it. Listen, can we talk? Can we be honest? Because listen, y'all already know about this. Listen, it'll ride your back. It'll dictate your whole life. And the only thing about lust is that lust is transactional. That we're giving actually our identity and authority when we're in bondage to lust. Our vision gets twisted. Bible says this about, in 1 Thessalonians 4, 3-5 says this, for this is the will of God. What's the will of God? This is the will of God. Your sanctification, aka your purity. That you abstain from sexual immorality, sexual twistedness. That each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles, or aka the world system, the culture of the world says, who do not know God. Can I tell you that God knows sexuality more than anybody? That man, that sex, listen, you will never hear me tell you, sex doesn't feel good if you're outside the will of God. It's not true. Feels great. But there's consequences like a mug. That this is, listen, y'all, the world says, yo, if it feels good, if you can do it, do it. No. It's consequences like a mug, as well as you miss out. I didn't know. I remember hearing these messages on purity and sexual stuff, and I'd be like, okay, word. And then when I fell in sin, I was like, what are they talking about? This felt great. Nah, there was consequences. It's crazy how this thing of sex, listen, there's science proves this thing. This is glue. You are glued to this person. There's chemicals that release into the point where you are connected to this person. That's why it can't just be so willy-nilly and can't be so free, because this was ordained and was subject for marriage. And so you'd be connected to your spouse. You'd be connected to a man and a woman. Listen, this thing is glue. And so if we're just out here just sleeping around just because a person makes us feel good, because, they said I looked good. I looked good to them. Oh, they said I was handsome. Listen, being Pastor Josh, we talk to girls all the time. We talk to guys all the time that ruined their life, at least up to this point, because of what they've been doing with their body. Because they didn't treasure who they were. So they gave their body freely just because of a cheap love they got in return. Listen. I was that kid who threw my sexuality out there. Because I was in church my whole life and they said this and they said that and I did it. And I did it and it felt great. But there was consequences. As well as I didn't know what was actually available. All the intimacy that I was looking for, all the love that I was looking for, it was found and actually in him. It really was. Devil's after sexuality. They're after, listen, attraction. Listen, homosexuality goes way deeper than just saying, oh, well, it's just love. No. It's not just love. Well, I'm attracted to the same sex. I'm attracted to them. Can I tell you this? Not everything that we feel is us. Not everything that you feel is you. We are not our feelings, because feelings end up shifting and changing. And let me tell you something. And listen, I got so much. There's so much grace for anybody who's struggling, whether it be pornography, sexual relationships, or in homosexuality. Listen, we are here for this. Oh, man, we got stories for days. Me and Pastor Josh, me and the leaders, we got stories for days. Talk to us. Ain't no judgment here. This is one of our favorite subjects. Because I know stuff that used to ride my back and used to twist my mind. I couldn't function without having sex. I couldn't function. And then, by the grace of God, he freed me. And by the grace of God, he taught me what life is. What this actually thing was set up for. The enemy's after how you view your bodies, because the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you corrupt the temple, you won't know what's actually inside of you. Do you recognize, the Bible says this, that God, most valuable person in all creation, he lives inside of us. And that we're defined by what's inside, but if he can make you and deceive you into what you feel and what you see, you won't recognize what's inside. You won't recognize it. Because again, the purpose of purity, the whole purpose is that you would see and that you would know him. Church used to get this thing wrong when we talked about purity. We used to say some crazy stuff. But I'm telling you this, knowing him is greater than any type of sexual perversion. Knowing him is greater than any type of idol thing that we would worship other than him. Knowing him. I wish I would have known, y'all. It would have saved me so much heartbreak. It would have saved my mind so much stuff. But I can tell you this, that the grace of God, whether some of y'all are in some lifestyles or you've done some things or whatever, can I tell you this? The grace of God the love of God washes us, makes us new. He'll give you real, real, real love. So this is how we do it. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And here's how we walk in purity. And then I'm done. Just a simple, simple thing. And y'all might have heard this before, but this is the truth. Recognize how he sees you, and you'll walk this thing out. Recognize that the blood of Jesus isn't just a go to heaven for a free card. But the blood of Jesus has washed us, cleansed us. He sees us as holy right now, whole right now. The Spirit of God. When the Bible says this, man, the flesh wars against the Spirit wars against the flesh. The more you recognize who he is and what he's done, the more you'll walk in the Spirit. And so you won't fulfill all the lusts that we feel of the flesh. Purity starts with recognizing that he's made us pure. Bible says this in Psalms 20. Computer kind of failed on me. But Psalms 24 says, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who can come to his holy temple? They who have clean hands and a pure heart. Guess who makes us pure? Jesus. Guess who's washed us from shame and guilt and all kinds of bondage? Jesus. He is the answer. He's the beginning. He's the solution. He's the end. That's how we walk in purity. Recognize him. I want you to just stand up. Listen, we talked about a lot of things. And listen, again, I'm going to pray, but if you want to talk more extensively, a couple of us are going to be at the altar. Let's chit-chat. Let's talk. Because another thing when it comes to the enemy, especially when it comes to sexuality, there's a lot of shame that gets attached to it. Shame always tries to keep us away from God. God is saying you can come near anytime. So I just want us to just to close your eyes. I want you just to put your hand on your heart. God, we need eyes to see. God, we need ears to hear. God, we need your Spirit. We need your truth. We need you, God. And so, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would, Lord, in this moment, touch our minds. Touch our heart. We need mind, will, and emotion to be subject, to be fully aware of your truth, of your grace. I thank you right now, Lord, that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That Jesus, that man, you've done it all to make us pure by the blood of Jesus, by your blood. And I pray right now, God, that man, that we would be a people that would walk in purity, and that man, that we would walk hand in hand. I thank you, Jesus, that you, Lord, are in every type of situation. If you've been battling and been in bondage to things, sexual addiction, pornography, whatever, Jesus is there with you in it. And so, Lord, I thank you right now, God, that you are washing us. You, Holy Spirit, are leading us to truth. And God, I pray right now that, man, that man, this would produce in us a movement to your ways over our ways. Give us new eyes. Matter of fact, put your hand on your eyes. Just say this. Say, Holy Spirit. Come on, say, Holy Spirit, I need your eyes. Give me fresh eyes. I need to see you rightly. I need to see life rightly. I need to see me rightly. Thank you right now, God, that you're with us. You're with us in this life. You're with us. Abba, if there's anything that, man, are in our life that is idolatry, Holy Spirit, we don't want no type of golden calves. We don't want any type of idols in our lives. Reveal to us. Reveal to us if there's any type of idols in our life. And give us the power to smash them things, to walk away from those things. God, we love you and we honor you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hey, can we close our eyes again? Can we close our eyes again, guys? What's up? If you don't know me, I'm Pastor Josh. I'm the other youth pastor here. Man, so the thing about getting involved in sexual sin, I think that both me and Pastor Sam can attest to here, is that it comes with a whole lot of shame. It makes you feel really dirty. You don't even look at yourself the same way. You're just so dirty. And I believe I was in the back. I was praying for you guys kind of as he was preaching the message. And I felt the Lord just drop in my heart, even this morning in prayer, that he's wanting to break shame off of some of you guys who you've been involved in certain things and you've been curious. Maybe you're in the room and you got curious and you started messing with certain things and messing in certain areas. And now you feel dirty and you don't feel clean, and you don't even, like, you look in the mirror and you feel like you're damaged goods. Because that's what sin does to you, man. And Jesus today, because he's so good and he's so loving and he's so gracious, I think he just wants to come and clean us off. But in order for that to happen, is that there needs to be repentance that has to take place in your heart. There needs to be repentance. It's not this thing where I can say, God, come and clean me, and I can still be involved in what I was involved in. It's saying, Jesus, see, repentance isn't saying I'm sorry. It's having a change of mind. It's saying, God, I'm changing my mind about what I thought was okay, and I'm coming in alignment with what you say is okay. So in the room today, with every eye closed, because, guys, I get it. I know this is super sensitive, okay? I'm not going to call you down front, okay? But this is a moment between you and him. I'm very serious about this. With every eye closed in the room today, every eye closed, every eye closed, every eye closed, every eye closed. If you're in the room today and you need to repent of any type of sexual sin that you've been involved in, maybe it's pornography, maybe it's masturbation, maybe it's maybe you're actually having sex, and maybe it's homosexuality. Maybe you've been tempted to go both ways and you're trying a little bit of both realms here. You know, maybe you consider yourself a bisexual in the room. Or maybe you're just confused and you don't know how you feel. But today, you want to get clean. Today, you want to repent. You want Jesus to wipe you clean. On the count of three, with every eye closed in this room, I want you to lift your hands for me. If you want Jesus to wash you clean, 1, 2, 3. Who am I talking to? Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, thank you, I see your hand. 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 Come on, I'm gonna give it some time. Thank you, I see your hand. If your hands are up, you can put them down. Is there anybody else in the room today? You want Jesus to come and to wash you clean. Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, I see your hand. Come on, y'all. I feel the presence of God in the room right now. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? All right, 10 more seconds. All right. With every eye closed, I want us to pray this. I want you to say, Jesus. Come on, everybody, I want you to say this. Say, Jesus, right now, I repent for experimenting with my sexuality. Say, I repent. Come on, everybody. I want you to say, I repent for wandering outside of what you said is okay. And Jesus, I ask you to place the cross in between me and my sin. Yeah. Can you say, forgive me? Come on, say, forgive me. Say, wash me clean. In Jesus' name, let me pray over you. Father, I thank you for all my friends in the room today who were so bold and so brave and said, hey, Jesus, I've crossed that boundary line. God, I have so much shame. And I feel so dirty. And right now, Father, I thank you that by the power of the blood of Jesus, that you are washing my friends clean. And I declare that all dirtiness, I declare that all cleanness, I declare that all shame is broken off of their lives now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you so much, God. God, that you're restoring purity in this room today. And Father, I thank you for the fear of the Lord. Your word says that the fear of the Lord is clean. So Father, I thank you, God, that you're cleaning consciences in the room today. So God, we love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.